We've just had Christmas time, and I find as I get older, buying presents for people and working out what people want for Christmas just gets harder and harder. When I was younger, it was easy because I knew what my brother wanted. He wanted the toy that is the same as the TV show that we both like, and my sister wanted something similar but probably a girlier version of it. But as we get older, people have jobs. And if they want something, they just buy it. And usually what my budget for giving them a present is probably much smaller than the things that they really want. They probably really want a new TV or a new mobile phone or something which is way outside of what I want to get them. So it's difficult to work out what we give. Do we give some people something that they would like? Or do we give them something that we know that they would need? But I think if you give someone something that you know that they need, or you think that they need, it can sometimes come off as passive-aggressive. Like if you were to give them a book about being a nicer person this year, or a book about how to handle bad breath and have a nicer breath in 2022. What you think is a gift is actually a subtle criticism. I find praying can be similar. It's difficult to know what people need compared to with what they want. And the world these days is just confusing. It's divided and lots of people want different things and think that other things are the most important thing. So sometimes I worry about whether I'm going to pray for my political preferences over another political preference from a different party. As we continue to think about prayer today, we'll pray for God's kingdom to come and think about how is it that we do pray for others in a way that glorifies God and actually works towards what God wants to happen in the world. We are starting our new year with prayer. Through January, we're going through the Lord's Prayer to see it as a model that Jesus gave us to pray. It has been a difficult couple of years, so maybe a refresher on God's presence with us and how he works in our lives is just what we need. How can we be engaging with him in 2022? We saw in the lead up to Christmas that God's will for us in Jesus is to be people who are praying without ceasing, to be thanking all the time and always rejoicing. It's when we pray that our knowledge about God works its way into who we are. Last week we looked at the opening verse of the prayer, "Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name." This told us who we were praying to and how to approach him. We are praying to our intimate Father who knows us and cares for us. But he is also our holy God who is above us and worthy of our praise. Today we are looking at the next verse, "Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven." Now with praying "your kingdom come," there's a bit of debate around what this means. Some people think that it is solely asking for Jesus to return, and then people think all other different things between there. And there's also lots of theological questions around the prayer, and where people usually land is in line with their theological convictions. Now, I think it's a little cryptic. What I think this section is actually about is praying for God to make this world more and more in line with the coming kingdom as it is in heaven. Now, it's perhaps a bit tricky to unpack as if we were a first century Jew, it would make a bit more sense to us. We live in a democracy, not a kingdom, in the same sense. If we look back into the Old Testament from about King David onwards, God promises that he will send a descendant of David to fix things. If you were an ancient person, then typically your safety, your security, and your prosperity depended upon the king that was leading your country. We think about the leaders of our country, we think that they should be doing those things too, but because we voted the person in, our expectations become very one way. A king, however, would have large expectations of his people and demand that they follow the laws and do the things the way that he wanted them to be done. Because we vote our leaders in, we can get very much into expecting them to fix things, but we don't feel so strongly the responsibility of following our leader's lead. In the Bible, the people and the way that they behaved was very much a reflection of their king and how he led them. If the king followed God, the people followed God and the nation prospered. If the king was corrupt, the nation was corrupt and things didn't go well for them. We expect our politicians to serve our interests and we get annoyed if we are asked to do things that we don't want to do. I have read some of the comments on Facebook posts about the latest COVID information lately, and people do not give much respect to our leaders. Now, that's only to point out that our culture is different. The sort of leader that the Old Testament is hoping for is one that will bring peace, safety, prosperity, and ensure that the people will have a good relationship with God. If you read Isaiah, the coming kingdom is described as it's described where people who are unacceptable become accepted. Weapons are turned into farming equipment. It's where people of every nation start to praise God. It is a kingdom that renews, refreshes, and transforms the world. When Jesus came, he told people to repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. And where he went, his miracles and his teaching, his kindness, his advocacy for the marginalized people, and his mercy all pointed towards a kingdom like the one that Isaiah described. So when we pray for God's kingdom to come, we are praying for God to fix the world so it becomes like this kingdom. However, there is a bit of a mystery to this kingdom in that we expect it to come in its fullness when Jesus returns. But when Jesus preached, he preached that the kingdom had arrived. Also, if you look at the kingdom parables in Matthew chapter 13, there are things like the kingdom is like a mustard seed. It's the smallest seed, but overnight it's like it grows into the biggest tree. The kingdom is like yeast that mysteriously makes its way through the whole amount of dough. The kingdom is like a field, and an enemy farmer has come and sowed weed amongst the wheat. So the good seed is the sons of the kingdom, and the weeds are the sons of the evil one. And God will sort it all out in the end. So the kingdom coming is not just this end time event, but it is the growth of people into being the followers of Jesus and living as citizens of the kingdom. It is a prayer for the gradual and mysterious refreshing and renewing of the world. This happens in people's lives as they turn to Jesus and live like his followers. This happens through miraculous things like healing and converted hearts. It happens through the actions of people who are living as people of the kingdom, the many charities that exist or Christian businesses that conduct themselves in a way that honours their king. We start praying by knowing who we are praying to, our loving Father, and approaching him as our holy and powerful God. And then we still don't ask for anything for ourselves yet, but we turn our eyes to the needs of the world. So we pray to him, your kingdom come, also focusing on the needs of our world, a need for it to experience all the good that God has for it. This is usually the part of the prayer where we'll pray for other people. It's called intercession often. And I often struggle knowing what to pray for other people. If someone is going through something, I don't want to assume that I know what God is going to do. If someone's really sick, I don't want to pray for healing because maybe God would embarrass me and they don't get well quick enough and he has different plans. I also know that God disciplines people so that they will grow. There is an old cliche that you never ask God for patience because you know that he will put you in situations where you need to be patient. I prayed for patience this week. So not having an idea on how everything works makes it difficult to know how exactly I should pray. I don't know what difficult situations God is going to turn around for good. I also don't know if there are arrogant people that are experiencing the suffering, where the suffering they experience is really an opportunity for them to see past their insulated lives that they've created for themselves, the lives that they want to control, and have an opportunity to turn to God and be saved. Now, this is why I think it's useful in those kinds of situations to view our prayer through the lens of Jesus' coming kingdom. When we pray for others, what is our goal? Are we trying to minimise pain and maximise comfort? Or is our hope that the kingdom of God will be growing in and around them? Do we pray that what they are going through will cease? Or do we pray that through the difficulties they would grow closer to God and be relying on him more and more? We have a culture that values the immediate. When we pray for God's kingdom to come, we are praying for that which has eternal value. Now, this does not mean that we don't pray for sick people to be well again, as that is part of our hope in the coming kingdom, that sickness will be done away with. We're also told to pray for the sick. It just means that when we pray, we have God's long-term goals in mind as well. So we pray, your kingdom come, to ask God to bring this world to restoration in the events and circumstances in the lives of people that we know and in the culture and the society that we live in. Then there is the next part of the verse which says, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. The more important part of this section is that we are praying for God's will to be done. So as we pray for things that we want God to do in the lives of others and in our country and in our world, we are reminding ourselves that we want those things to happen in accordance with God's will and not ours. I want to choose who God saves. I want to choose who God heals. I want to choose how God changes people's lives, but that's not my place. I think fittingly, we have a record of where Jesus himself prays this prayer when he's in the Garden of Gethsemane before he is sent to the cross. When he asks that this cup be taken from him, he says, but not my will, but yours be done. We remember that God is our loving Father and our holy God, and he knows more than we do. So when we ask him to fix the world, we remember that he is refreshing and changing it, and we are working with him towards that goal. The way that God works also is rather counterintuitive. He tells us to love our enemies, do good to those who harm you, turn the other cheek, walk the extra mile. Yet what he does changes and fixes the world. When the kingdom of God started, he chose 12 tradies from nowhere to be his ambassadors for a kingdom whose strength was in its compassion and acceptance, not in its swords or its chariots. And Christianity, it lost for 300 years before God changed the heart of the Roman emperor. And then the world was no longer the same. The kingdom of heaven is like those parables. It is unlikely but mysterious. It moves according to God's will. When we pray for God's will to be done, we are asking for our transformation into the people of God's kingdom. Now, this leads us to a rather tricky question that people like to ask. If we are praying for God's will to be done, then do our prayers do anything? Why does God need us to ask him to do things that he already wants to happen anyway? I don't have a really good answer to that question. I have kind of a mix of possibilities and ideas of how things might work from a heavenly standpoint and ideas of what our experience of things are. I often hear people say something like, well, God is your father. He is waiting for you to ask. Like how a father knows that you need something, but he's just waiting for the child to come and ask him for it. He was always going to give it to them, but he's just waiting for them to come to him. And then there are others who say, well, you can actually change God's mind in what he's when you ask him to do things. Everything is not set in stone and you change it and work in it. Now, I don't find either particularly satisfying. I think our prayer does affect and change things. And I think that it does have that it has to impact on what God does. Otherwise, it's false, like a performance or an act. I also think that God's goals and movements are bigger than my comprehension. And he will ensure that his will is done regardless. So what I think the value of this type of prayer is that we are engaging with God's presence as our loving Father and Holy God. We are taking part in his mission. Now, I think that what we pray simply has to influence what God does. I also think that God is working all things for good, the good of those who love him and are called according to his purposes, and that will happen regardless of me. So then I don't think I will get a satisfying answer, and I'm okay with that because God is God and I am not. I know that when I talk to him, he listens and he has the best in mind. That means that what I do matters, but it also means that I can trust that he has all things in hand. So we've seen that when we pray, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven, we are praying for God to restore the world and bring about in our hearts and lives the kingdom of heaven. That is a counterintuitive concept, so a lot of the time, so we remind ourselves that it is God's will that we want to be done. This is where we pray for others. So how do we pray like this? How can we know God's plan for people's lives? Well, I think first of all, we know that all we have, from all we've learned so far, is that God knows what is going on when we don't. So we have something of a freedom to get it wrong sometimes. What we can do is pray for the promises of God in people's lives. We can pray that people will grow in knowledge and understanding. We can pray for people's physical and spiritual healing, knowing that God is going to fix the world. And we can pray that people will come to Jesus as their Saviour and be people of the kingdom also. This means that we are engaging with God's presence to ask God to intervene and complete his work in the world. So some of the ways that we can do this is look at the prayers in the Bible as models for the sorts of things we can pray in line with God's word. The Apostle Paul often says what he prays for people, and it's things like he wants the church to be united. He wants people to be comforted. He wants people to grow in their knowledge and understanding. He does not pray that people should get rich. He does not pray for me to receive a Ferrari. His care for people and thus his prayer are in line with God's eternal plans. So as we pray, we keep that in mind, and then we pray about the immediate needs of people. In our country today, there are people who need comfort. There are sick people who need to be made well. There are people who are struggling under the weight of expectations. There are people who are not saved. There are saved people who need to have their minds refreshed and moved in line with the way God wants them to live. I also know people who have been in a situation where they've been asked to pray for people that they don't know, just a list of names who are going to a camp or something like that. And when they've prayed for them, they've asked God to help them with things to pray. And as they pray, they find themselves coming up with things to pray for each person, specific and different. They have no idea who the person is or what they're going through, but they feel God telling them to pray for this or that. God is our loving Father and our holy God, so he will help us with this when we need it. We can also pray while we watch the news, read the newspaper, look at online articles. We can pray for those situations and pray for God to restore and renew the world, even though there are lots of difficult things going on. Now, if we are asking for all of the big things in people's lives, can we ask for the little things as well? Is that too trivial to bother God with? Well, I remember once when I was in Covenant Players, we were in Echuca one week on the border of Victoria and New South Wales. Now, Echuca is famous for steam riverboats that go along the Murray River there. And for our leader, it was her second time in the town, and she desperately wanted to ride on a steamboat ride. She missed out the last time, and she wanted to do this time, and our day off came around, and it was raining. There were clouds everywhere. It didn't look like it was going to be a nice day on the river. That day in our devotions, we listened to a sermon about how God was incredibly kind. So as the time approached for us to go on the river boat ride that we had booked, I prayed that God would take care of the weather. I prayed for my friend that she'd be able to have a lovely riverboat ride. And as we headed into town towards the river, there were clouds threatening rain. And when we got ready to go on the riverboat ride, there was a large gap in the clouds above us, just a big circle. And it stayed above us the whole time. I think we got a couple of sprinkles. But for the most part, it was a lovely day on the river. It seemed like a trivial thing for me to pray for my friend, but God is very kind. He wants his kingdom to come, but part of that is for people to experience his mercy and his love. So whilst we pray for the big things, we can also pray for the little things. He is our holy God, but he is also our loving Father. So again today, I want us to put our prayer into action. And I'll give you a chance to pray. Now, if you were here last week, we paused and we took a deep breath, remembering that God's presence is all around us. We then thought of all the reasons that God is amazing and powerful and the one who we should bring our prayers to, the one who can answer them. Now, today, I want you to do that again, maybe a bit quicker than last week. And then I want you to pray for others. I want you to pray for a situation that you know is going on in the world and ask for God's kingdom to come in that situation. I want you to pray for a person that you know that God's kingdom will come in their lives. And I want you to pray for a small expression of God's love and kindness in someone's life. I'll give you 3 to 5 minutes. And then we'll start the next song, and you can continue to pray or worship silently through that song. So first, we pause, remembering God's presence. We praise God for who he is and what he can do. We pray for a big situation. We pray for someone we know, and we pray for a small expression of God's love in someone's life. Let us pray.